Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I am your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always listen live on the Odyssey app where you can stream us. You can also listen on demand. You can also stream us on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeart Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Are we working tonight? What are we doing?
We are working tonight. Come on down, play some general knowledge trivia with you. Yours truly, down in South Haven, Dan McGinnis on Goodman Road. In South Haven, got some Cerrito trivia going on tonight. Caught Righter Than Right trivia. Great job again, as always, today, sir.
Well, it was an absolute sweat. I mean, I'd love to claim some type of victory, but really what it came down to is our main man, the plumber, he missed the final question. He went all in.
I mean, push the chips on
the
table.
I respect it.
Have to respect that.
Play for the win.
Always, but a win's a win's a win.
Yeah, that was also one of those ones I was, It can work out a particular way. My company, Izzy, is each and every Thursday on the program. He writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on the Everything app at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, good day. What's the latest on your Twitter account? We got any updates?
The update is the exact same. About every 36 hours, I fill out the form saying that my account has been hacked, and then when I try to send any type of reply, they just tell me I'm in the queue.
All right. Well, hopefully when you get your account back, you know, there's
I think it's gone forever.
Well, you never know. I mean, they're out there mining crypto on your behalf. You might be walking back into a fortune when you get your account back.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be. I think somebody else could be walking into a fortune. You know, that's. But, you know, man, it's just sometimes it's hard to say goodbye. I mean.
Well, here's the thing, Jeffrey. Are you going to create a new account?
So we've been having this dilemma. I think at some point I'm going to have to. I'll tell you where really the problem is. I'm not a good enough seeker of news. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm left to my own devices and I have to go find it all on my own, I'm just going to be uninformed. Like, the thing that, for me, that makes the Everything app useful is it is a timeline of, like, curated news for me.
So you could just go to CBSSports.com.
Right, but that's all I'd only get, like, my college basketball and college football needs, particularly when you consider it's, you know, the network of stars. But, like, just in terms of getting everything, I got no shot.
Yeah.
I've tried doing the – Cerrito used to try to get me to go to Google News, but I have found that that's – not great either, because a lot of it is just kind of that's an algorithm.
Well, you're here's the problem. You're too old for TikTok.
Yep.
You're not gonna get on Facebook, because then you'll get all your news 5 days late.
Or
so you can't have that.
Just straight up wrong. I saw a story. Yeah. Did you see this? I don't know if maybe what pops up on your Facebook, but there was a story that Rory and Erica, Roy McIlroy and Erica, they're having baby number two. And I was like, went and looked up. There's no evidence that that's true. And that has like been flooding my Facebook.
Yeah, that's a real problem with Facebook these days. People want to rag on Twitter for being that way.
Facebook is way worse.
Oh, I'll scroll through Sarah's feed sometimes because I'm not on Facebook anymore. It's been great.
Good for you.
But I get on Sarah's every now and then. And
it is the only point of it now for me is it's just a calendar of my friends' birthdays.
Honest, yeah. Like people will remember my birthday, and I'll be like, "How did they?
Yeah, the book.
How did they remember it without Facebook? It's crazy." Because I mean, I've got like five friends who from childhood who, but if I met you in college or later, there's no chance I know your birthday.
0%.
No chance. Yeah, but if I knew you, if I went to your birthday party when I was nine.
Yeah, if I celebrated your birthday every day from about the age of 8 until 18, I've got a decent chance of remembering it.
Well, and it was always like, for sports purposes, it was like, what's his birthday cutoff? What? So it's like, my buddy.
It's a July birthday.
I got screwed, man. I was tiny.
It's
and July
birthday.
I was 10 years old playing in the 12-year-old division, 4'2", like, 70 pounds. Anyway, but I hope, I wish you well in your endeavors as you sort of, you got a big decision to make here on what path you're going to take with your social media. So good luck with that. I know that's a tough one.
I have not threatened to get a Blue Sky or Threads.
Okay, well, I was curious if you were going to venture.
Mark has been trying to push me into Blue Sky, but I was like, what's the point of it? Like, nobody I know's on it.
Well, there's a good amount of like sports media on there. Like, I have an account, I just don't really use it. And then like March Madness will come around and I'll be like, oh yeah, I should put this on Blue Sky.
An account though if CBS didn't make you?
Well, so what it was is like, Matt Norlander created this starter pack thing that had me in it. So I got like 1,000 followers or something because he like basically promoted my account. So like I have, at least some semblance of a followership there. That's the problem now is like, if I had to go and restart a Twitter account, it would take me like 3 years to get 1,000 followers because I'm not at games. I'm not at press conferences as much as I used to be.
I truthfully don't know if I could do it I peaked. Because you got to also remember this, because I went to college in California, like I was out there when this is how I always knew I'd be a horrible investor. I remember when Twitter launched and when Instagram launched and I was like, wait, let me get this straight. You just put pictures of stuff on Instagram?
Stupid.
Like, that's so dumb. Like, Twitter's at least useful. Like, you get news stories like, oh, this would be great. Like, that's the one that's going to be the hit. And then it's like, one of them sells for 15 times what the other does. And it's like, I could not have been more wrong on that.
Man, I thought the same way, but I think that's just the way that like we're wired. Like we're like, we want information.
Yes.
And we're like analytical and, knowledge is power. I don't care about pictures,
I don't. Yeah. Well, and I have zero time for the fake life. Like
the curating your like whatever.
Yes, like,
I think it's like on Twitter, like I don't put it, nobody puts anything about their life. They just put their opinions, which is
I just want takes.
Facts. Yeah, yeah.
I just want takes and I want to like yell like about kids that can't make free throws when maybe I laid 10 points. Like, you know what I mean?
And it is great for that.
Yeah, that's the whole point. All right. So speaking of yelling, okay, so last night. I think it's fair to say this, and y'all tell me if I'm wrong. I thought last night's loss was way worse than the Heat loss on the Friday, whatever. Like, was that the first week, the Friday of the first week?
Right.
Because on that one, I thought that was a mismatch that just abused them. Like, they put the two bigs inside, and the Grizzlies had no answer. Last night was the type of game... And I say this not to be like, I will never be the guy that says, oh, I have to watch sports. Like, it's part of, it's my job. But you'll never hear me complain about it. I'm talking about from a personal experience. The game was on in the middle of the third quarter. I just asked myself, why am I watching this?
Yeah, I ended up basically choosing a Colorado State versus Cal Poly basketball game over this one because it was so unwatchable. And It was bad. Like, they're at least, like, during this stretch of struggle, for example, when they lost at home to OKC, the first half was awesome. They were in command of the game, playing well, especially, you know, in the first quarter. But then this game, it was like there was never even a moment where it looked like they planned to be competitive.
And it's like, I do understand, okay, you're on your – you don't even have a point guard. Like, let's be real. I think I made the joke earlier, but it's kind of true. I was never a big fan of the Dez running the point offense.
What is this Vince Williams at point guard thing, man?
I
know there's nobody else, but like, what is this?
And like, that's my thing. It's like, I'm not saying this is Vince's fault. I want to be clear, because I actually think one of the few positives of the last few games is the fact that Vince is starting to play better. Like, Vince looks like the type of player he was before he got hurt, when he was kind of useful in the miserable season. Remember in the GG Jackson season. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
But there, Vince running the offense is more unwatchable for me than Dez running the offense was.
I'd rather see like Coward or Cam Spencer run the offense.
Yeah, and so the other thing it got me thinking about last night was this. I don't know what's fair to judge Tuomas for yet, because it is a little bit of going to a gunfight with spoons. Shout out our boy Matt Barnes. But these are the types of performances that in the end got Taylor Jenkins fired. Like, a lot of people around the league were going, what are they doing? Like, let him finish out the season. He deserves that. And I'm not saying that those people were wrong or it was right to fire him. But in the end, what got Taylor fired was stacking of those non-competitive, they looked like they were just going through the motion losses. Like, that was a huge part of it. And last night I was like, that looks like this.
Yeah, it does. It looks exactly the same. And now that you see the national media kind of starting to take notice as well, like, this isn't just like a Memphis struggling in quiet anonymity. When you go and play that poorly on the road against Boston, like, people take notice, and you see it with like Sam Vecenie basically putting the Grizzlies on blast last night, saying he doesn't even understand from watching the Grizzlies like what they are trying to do, or like what the hallmarks of their identity are. And I mean, that's a problem when it's hard to even decipher like what they're trying to accomplish. To me, it suggests that they're still not on the same page about what they're trying to accomplish. Because it's one thing if you are in good faith, like failing to perform, you know, but you're sticking to your principles. It's like Jeff Lebby in year one at Mississippi State. Like,
yeah,
we know we don't have what we need,
but we're building something.
Win.
But here's what we want to look like.
Yeah, we're going to play within the parameters of this well-established identity and build
the future. Remember that first year when Dillingham was at Arizona State? I think they were like 3-9. They were awful,
but they were committed.
Correct.
And yeah, and that's what feels like is lacking right now with the Grizzlies, is that commitment to an identity. And so it's like, okay, you can live with bad results if the process felt like it was being done well, but it doesn't feel like the process has been implemented properly, and they're just getting their doors blown off. So, you know, that's where it's like, man, this is tough. And it's not getting any easier when you look at, I mean, the rest of this road trip is Cleveland and then San Antonio. Both these teams are playing about as well as anybody in the league, not named Oklahoma City.
No. And I think to your point though, I guess this is where I want to try to be fair. Because I'd like to, like, hammer this out. Is it possible they can't establish the identity without Zach Edey? Because, like, God bless Jacques Landale. But, if that is your – how many other teams does Jacques stand for or start for?
Oh, I mean, yeah, none.
So, okay – is the reason why I'm saying with all this with Edey is I also don't want to get into the situation, because, I mean, I think George was the one that pointed this out earlier this week, and I totally agree. We're two guys that think Zach is very useful, but we're now into this zone where the return of Zach Edey is almost like you would be getting Steven Strasburg back from Tommy John surgery. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it has now become like getting your best player back, and it's like, even for guys that would consider ourselves early stockholders of Zach Edey, we also acknowledge, like, this is not getting a top 10 player back. Like, this is getting a guy that serves a very specific function, but like the fact that all of a sudden, like, he doesn't fix things.
He's as if he's like the missing piece of the puzzle that's right. going to finally fix it all. No, that's absurd. And I think that that's a really bad place to be, because I think it sets Zach Edey up for failure. It sets him up to be kind of a scapegoat in a way when, all right, we're holding out hope that his return is going to fix things. And this is a second-year player coming off of injury who will be playing within a new system, right? Like, there's nothing there that suggests he's going to thrive or fix the Grizzlies' issues.
As a big coming off of a very mysterious ankle surgery.
Right.
What do we call it? Like a stabilizing ankle surgery?
It was a stabilizing ankle surgery to fix ankle laxity.
But it was not the tightrope.
Not that we know of.
Because I think tightrope, you come back in like 3 weeks.
They never said specifically what they're doing. Right. They're just doing something in there to add some stability
Harrington,
to that ankle.
Harrington had some examples of guys that had also had it. But it's not like Zach's going to come back and be in midseason form.
No, he can help set screens, grab rebounds. I mean, that's what he's there
that,
for.
That alone, grabbing of rebounds, I guess this is the other question. Maybe Zach does make it look better than we think simply because, Cobb, have you ever seen this? The second chance points numbers last night?
Oh, it was absurd, yeah.
34-12.
They got outworked. And the thing that Isola pointed out after the game is that, like, it's not even like Boston's a huge towering team. It's not even like, I don't even think they came in as one of the better offensive rebounding teams in the league. And yet they were able to do that to you. So like that almost feels like an effort problem. Rebounding has got to be, I mean, it's an effort thing, right? And so, I mean, that's part of the issue.
You can tell me, I think when it's at the disparity that it was last night, that is an effort thing. Like, do I expect the Grizzlies to just try hard and be a good rebounding team? No, but we're talking about 34-12. I don't know. Have you ever seen this either? Have you ever seen 95 points on 95 shots in the NBA?
No, but if anyone could do that, like
the Memphis Grizzlies did it last night.
Yeah.
And so, like, I also give George credit for this. George started pointing out, he's like, hey, man, I started noticing KCP's like flexing his wrist. This was a couple of games ago. He's like, there's something wrong. And then last night, like, maybe he's not as bad as he has looked because he has been hurt and he's just been playing through it. Like, so maybe you can get a little better there. If you have a legitimate backup point guard, or you add a Scottie Pippen that can start to create some havoc. But it's like, man, we're acting like some of the guys that we're inserting back into the lineup are more than like role players. And that's kind of the alarming thing.
Well, so it's got to be a collection of the role players. You know, Scottie Pippen Jr., Ty Jerome, Zach Edey, eventually Brandon Clark. It's the collective help that they'll provide that you're banking on providing a lift. But the thing is, I really don't even feel like the role players have been the issue. Like, I think Cam Spencer's done all right. Like, Cedric Howard as a rookie coming off the bench has been pretty good. Santi Aldama, maybe he's not playing as well as he did last season, but like,
no,
whatever.
George and I have talked about this. If you track it, he's been pretty good the last few games. He had a bad start to the year, and it kind of, I feel like with Santi never gets the chance to like make a second impression. It's like whatever you see of Santi night one, that's what everybody just rolls with for the whole year. But he's actually been pretty good. He shockingly, I didn't even know this was possible. When you get beat by 36 and you played 23 minutes, he finished with a positive plus minus.
Wow.
Only one.
That's unbelievable.
I didn't actually know it was possible.
So that's the hope, though, is you get Scottie Pippen Jr., Ty Jerome, Zach Edey back. Eventually, Brandon Clark comes back. And then you have a situation where you just, on average, have a better team out there than you have for the first 13 games of this season. And you get better as a result. But, I mean, that's kind of wishful thinking, right? I don't think that any of those players on their own change the calculus for this team. And I'd be surprised if as a collective, they really do as well. Now, I think like you do have to reserve the ultimate final judgment on Isalo and on this system until he gets those guys back, because especially with how important Zach Edey is to this thing. And I mean, how strategic it was to go out and get Ty Jerome. I mean, that was their big offseason acquisition outside of the draft. So you can't make your final judgment on this team until you get those guys back. And then you kind of throw out everything that happened before then. And then you start the clock at that point and see, all right, like, what is this? If you go 500 with those guys in the lineup, then maybe you can find something to build on for the future. But I mean, it doesn't make the present any less maddening. And it's going to make, whenever that day comes, when they get a healthy or close to healthy rotation, like they're going to be starting with a lot of skepticism. You know, like it's not going to be a clean start or a clean, fresh slate. It's going to be, all right, you guys are like already up against it now, right? And so they're going to be under pressure to perform. It's a bad place to be right now. It's a bad place to be as a franchise, because, you know, it's like, where's your hope? Where's your direction? And that's where I come back to like the flailing identity on the court, because if you were bad, but with a clear direction, like, I think we could kind of make our peace with that, but that's not what this is.
Yeah. Along those same lines, you know, I've just decided if it's possible, because Zach was upgraded. Was he upgraded on Tuesday or yesterday?
Yesterday.
It's a doubtful. Okay. On Saturday night, granted, we'll get into it more during the list. Cobb, I think if you ignore tonight, there is an argument this is the most balanced, awesome weekend of football we've had this year, because we have two watchable Friday night games. We have Saturday well-balanced, like not too many games in one window. It's really spread out through the day. And then if you also ignore the fact that we have a Madrid game, we have a couple of good games in the early window on Sunday. The late window's got two good games, and then we got a Sunday night game of Detroit and Philly. Like, in totality, great weekend. But if I were to turn on the game on Saturday night, if you could start Ja, Wells, Cedric, Jaren, and Edey, I mean, at least, like, my thing is, like, now, just start those five guys and play them, and, like, that's going to at least hold my attention. I also think there's a basketball reason for doing it. If we're at this point where so much of this is evaluating what are going to be the key pieces, well, it starts with those five and figure out how many, like, give yourself as much data and information of how those five play together, and, like, that at least would hold my attention.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to peel me away from Oklahoma, Alabama, and
Well, that's early.
The Grizzlies game on Saturday starts
six.
At,
is it six?
I think it's at 4 Central. It's a weirdly timed game.
Is there
Saturday.
Something going on in Cleveland?
I don't know, but they're
it's a 4 Central right game. At, it's on NBA TV.
Yeah, but I don't think NBA TV has to do with anything. It's not like NBA TV can declare a game start. I guess they're just playing a Saturday afternoon game.
But honestly, some of these Grizzlies games right now, like I love it when there is something to distract me from it. To be quite honest, like they could, like
oh,
I was
last
at the
time, bath and bedtime could not have come at a better time last
well,
night.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I got so desperate last
it's like,
night.
I got it.
Yeah. Let me take this.
Baby,
I ended up on
baby,
Colorado,
go kick your
State
feet
Cal
up. I'll be a hero here.
Yeah, let me do bedtime. How many books do you want to read? 6 books. Today?
Yeah, holy okay. cow, you. You want to turn another episode of Miss Rachel
again?
On?
Yeah. Come on, honey. Let's watch Bluey again.
Yeah. Listen, we'll just go through. Let's go through the minisodes. Let's just watch all of them.
Yeah. So on Tuesday, I was at Kentucky Louisville, and so on the drive back, I was gonna pull up. So I record everything, you know. So I was like, either gonna watch Memphis Ole Miss, or Grizzlies Knicks. Cause I, you know, on the drive back, I was just going to put it on my phone, listen, whatever, watch at traffic lights, stuff like that. And, I caught a glimpse of the score of Grizzlies Knicks, and I was like, okay, I guess we're gonna watch the Tigers and Ole Miss. We'll do that instead.
I will say this: this is how sad it is. If you compare Tuesday night to Wednesday night, Tuesday night was like significantly more watchable. Like the score got out of hand.
They scored. They made shots.
Well, and it's like it was like kind of one big run at the end of the first quarter. Like the Grizzlies are at one point, there's like 2 minutes left in the first, and you're seeing it's like 30-30, and you're like, okay, maybe. And then they have a 12-0 run to close the quarter, and then it like goes to like a 19-0 run. And that was really the game. But like beyond, if you just, my point is like, you're not excusing those minutes. Those minutes happened. But in terms of watching the basketball game, that was the only stretch that it got out of hand.
Yeah, I also think it's a small sample size, so a bit of a, I don't know if this is the most logically sound point, but Ja Morant played against the Knicks. You know, he didn't play against the Celtics. And that guy, dude, he is catching a lot of heat right now. And I don't know. Like, some of it's probably – some of it's earned. Some of it's definitely earned.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
– without a doubt. But there's such a difference. There's still a difference when he's on the court versus when he's not. I mean, and it was a significant one at that. I realize we're talking about Vince Williams Jr. instead of Tyus Jones as the backup. So that makes a huge difference as well. But, like, with this team right now, especially with no backup point guard, like – no Jaw equals a total disaster.
Yeah, I think
even if Jaw isn't performing at his best or even near his best.
Like, Jaw is playing badly. Like, there's a – George and I saw this on Reddit. There's a shot chart going around, and it is ugly.
Like, a lot of red.
It is.
Not a lot of green.
The green – okay, see if I can do this from memory. The green is corner threes.
Yes.
There is, like, some green at the – left elbow of the free throw line.
That sounds right.
And that's about it. And even the paint is red. And so he's not playing well, so that doesn't help matters. But at the same time, to your point, it's not just, okay, Ja sits. It's Ja sits and they don't have three other point guards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all – you see the difference. It makes you appreciate Tyus Jones, and it's like, my goodness – Scottie Pippen Jr., Ty Jerome, they're going to raise the floor. I think that's where I come down on it. They'll raise the floor.
So
are they going to change the ceiling? I don't know, but like I feel a lot better about your chances of not taking 40-point losses when you can bring one of or both of those guys off the bench to raise the floor.
Maybe this is just because of the mood, but I honestly felt this before even the season started. I still got my reservations about Ty Jerome, not the signing, but when I hear that you're going to sit out basically for 2 or 3 months because you have a calf injury, my brain just goes to, oh, well, that's just a ticking time bomb until he pops his Achilles. And I understand that's not fair to anyone, but that is just emotionally where I am.
Well, it's that's the Grizzlies for you.
It is. Oh, my God. Just dreadful. And like, I don't know. I guess that kind of gets back to the overall big picture question, which is like, what is actually fair to Tuomas Iisalo? Because I can acknowledge their personnel problems big time, but can we also acknowledge like it has to be better than this?
Yeah, I just at this point,
like, what are they accomplishing?
Yeah, but what would they accomplish by firing him at this point?
No. I'm with you. This is more of like, hey, man. I get it. You have the system in place. It's like, man, maybe we need to push pause on whatever those ideas were because you just don't have the guys to do it.
Yeah, but I'm actually okay with like trying to establish the identity over at this point. I don't want to say the season is toast, but like at this point, you're maybe a play in, maybe sneaking backing your way into the play in.
I still have hope that they can finish like somewhere between 7 and 10. Like, if you actually look at the standings, as bad as they are, they're not really moving. And there's the other thing. It's like, even if you want to project out, it's like, okay, maybe there's a team or two behind them that could move up, but there's also, like, one or two teams ahead of them. Like, all right, so, like, if the idea is, like, stay in the top 10 and fight your way through, like, it's possible. I think the biggest problem that I have is, like, what is this identity? Because to me, it almost seems like the identity is more theoretical than it actually is in practice. Like, the identity seems to be play guys, play like 10 guys, short stints with pace. Have we seen any of that other than the play a lot of guys in short stints?
No, I mean, I don't. That's the problem, is there's nothing that you can watch and say, okay, I at least see what they're trying to do, right? And that's where I think it just gets a little wonky, is like, all right, what are we working towards? What are we building towards here? And I don't think that's clear. So where do they go from here, man? I don't know. I mean, you just got to get through it. You got to find a way to get through it. Like, that's part of an 82-game NBA season. Like, you're going to go through downtimes. And this is where it would be awfully nice if you had some leadership in that locker room.
I do think that's another big part of this.
They don't have it. They just don't have it. And that's not going to change. I mean, tell me who's going to change that. 5 years from now, you could easily convince me that Cedric Coward is the leader in that locker room. Is he going to be that right now as a rookie? No. Absolutely not, nor should he try to be. But when you don't have that leadership in the locker room, it makes these times even tougher. And I don't say that to disparage John Morant or Jaren Jackson Jr., especially not Jaren. Like, again, like I said it last week, I'll say it again. He's a model citizen. He's a great guy. He's a great person to have in your franchise. But, like, he's not the rah-rah guy that's going to rally the locker room to weather this storm. Like, it's just not who he is.
No, and honestly, I will say this about Ja. Ja's not like the going gets tough, Ja gets better.
No. You identify him as a front runner, and I think that's a pretty good term.
Like, and obviously he's not to blame last night. He didn't play, but it's also like, hey man, like, you're shorthanded. This is why y'all two get paid $90 million combined. And they're not stepping up. And I'm not saying like, oh, well, they should win every game just because of those two, but it's like, hey man, like, you should not be getting beat by 30 every night.
Yeah, and it's part of the schedule, the road trip. It's tough. Like, I get all that. Yeah, it's like a lack of effort. I mean,
yeah, but like, that's the other thing. The Celtics were like 5-7.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is,
you just gotta flush it, man. You just gotta flush. Second night of a back to back. It's the NBA. Like. So they got to find a way to forget about it. Like, just forget about last night. And now you finally get 2 days off in a row. Like, that's, I'm not trying to make excuses, but that's huge.
Well, I mean, I can't help but wonder, did they stay in New York?
What are you getting at?
We don't even have to pretend around. Like, I don't have to dance around. Like, did they stay in New York and then go? I assumed they flew to Boston, but it's like, last night looked like a team that just went out and partied in New York.
I wouldn't blame them at this point. Like, try to have some fun along the way, you know?
Yeah, maybe, like, you just throw, like, a team kegger to build some camaraderie. Like,
Do athletes, like, even still go out, like, anymore outside of, like, private?
Yeah.
But, like, it's always a private room, though, isn't
well,
it?
Well, what it is now is, like, there are designated spots that are essentially private.
Like, cell phone free sort
yeah,
of places?
It's a lot of that. Like, I think it's a lot of if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Not here, but like in those cities. All right, let's take a break. Let's continue the happy hour with Eric Hasseltine. He joins us next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
ESPN. That music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He is Eric Hasseltine. Eric, just out of curiosity, no reason, just trying to get your travel agenda. Did y'all stay in New York on Tuesday?
No, we had to play Wednesday in Boston.
I know. I just didn't know. Maybe y'all flew the day.
No. You never fly a day again.
Okay. Just checking.
Last
night I was sitting there. I was like, did they just like? I was like, I don't think they would have stayed in New York. But I was like, the energy. Yeah.
Yeah, they ran out of gas, and Boston did not. Well, Boston, ironically, played the night before, too. They played in Philadelphia. So both teams had short journeys to where they were going. The Grizzlies were unable to match the energy. I think, that was pretty evident. And that's one of those tough nights where any button you push doesn't seem to work. And Boston still has, a bunch of high-quality players, even though they're out Jason Tatum. I mean, Jaylen Brown and Derek White are incredibly accomplished with all NBAs, all-stars, Olympic team appearances. And the reigning sixth man of the year decided that was the night he was going to break out of his shooting slump. So, one of those frustrating evenings, you know what I mean?
Oh, no question. I was going to ask you this, because I asked Cobb, and maybe it happens more frequently than – have you ever seen 95 points on 95 shots?
No, not that I can recall.
that one stood out. And so I guess let's discuss this. How much of this is just personnel right now?
I think that's some of it. I think you're down your top rebounders, and the presence of Zach Edey in the middle certainly helps Jaren be more effective on the defensive end. Having Ty Jerome gives you another steady ball handler. When you don't have Ty Jerome or Scottie Pippen or Ja Morant, you don't have any of your point guards. And that's a lot to ask of Vince Williams. It's a lot to ask a guy to jump in and play point guard. It's the hardest position in the game. I'm not making excuses, but this is where you're at. And the simple fact is that they didn't make shots. I mean, I was trying to convey that last night in our broadcast, that you just look at the numbers and the shots aren't falling. Now, the problem was, as the game progressed and the shots continued to not fall, it clearly affected the group, and when it affects you, and then it leads to breakdowns on the other opposite end, that's not good. And then Kenny getting hurt with the elbow. I did not get a look at the replay. The guys from the TV truck, though, when we left the arena, said he got whacked pretty good, and he got jolted, his elbow or his arm. So, but I mean, you got to say what happened. You got to be honest about it. And I saw a moment where four guys on the court were talking about where the defensive coverage should have been, and it didn't look like any of the four opinions jived with each other, if that makes sense. I mean, they weren't arguing, they weren't screaming at each other, but they clearly didn't seem to be on that same page. So, you know, that's a problem when you're getting guys out of their area or whatever, and it's clear that, you know, one person believes he should be somewhere and another person believes he should not, and that leaves an open shot, right or wrong, whoever it is, you're not on the same page. And I don't know if this makes sense, but it seems to me I'd rather have them be on the same page and both be wrong than both guessing who's right, who's wrong, and no one understanding where, you know, what the page is, type of thing. So I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not trying to kill the guys. I've never met an NBA player that wants to go out on the court and lose. So I don't think that. I know, you know, people are frustrated, and understandably so. You're 4-9, and a lot like the end of last year when you're facing good teams, you're struggling. And struggling in a way where the games aren't really even that close. And so, yeah, people talk about it, and you look at what the record is, and you feel like you let one against the Lakers slip away, which ironically was also a cup game, which if they had won that, they set themselves up to possibly make the quarterfinals, because you're facing a struggling New Orleans team in your next cup game and a struggling Clippers team in the one after that. So that would have been a silver lining there, but I don't think you can concern yourself with that, but I think the subsequent suspension after that led to it being very difficult in Toronto. And, you know, you put yourself in a position where, you know, it's easier said than done, but two wins that were losses and very easily could have been wins make this look a little different at 6-7 than, 4-9. And I don't want to go to that 6-7 thing. I don't understand any of that. He's one of the announcers for the Celtics, who's a good dude, Drew Carter. It's like, hey, man, everybody's going to go crazy. If the Celtics win tonight, it'll be the 6-7. And I was like, what are we talking about here? It's this wild thing. I'm sure you know about it, Jeffrey. I have no clue.
It's one of those things that I think I get it. It's like from a rap song, and I think it involves LaMelo. But yeah, I think it's also one of these things where it's just like, it's just become an internet culture thing more than it is like the actual meaning.
Yeah, I get that. And that's why I just am old and a curmudgeon, and I don't get it. It's like we were talking about the 2K league being revamped and how different it's going to look, and not five guys playing and it's one person per team, and, you know, some of the players for the teams are going to be involved and Jaren's going to be involved. And I still stand by, like, I just don't understand the phenomenon of watching people play video games. I just remember being a kid when video games first came out and having my quarter up on the Ms. Pac-Man machine, telling the guy who was awesome in front of me, hey, can you hurry it up? I got to get home.
No, I mean, there was nothing for me growing up, there was nothing more frustrating than, like, if you had the friends over and you were sitting it out that game. Like, you're just counting down the minutes until you got to play again. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to watch. I wanted to play. So, but kids do that. So, I'm not trying to dodge what the obvious issues are and, you know, take it for what it is. I think it's personnel with injuries. I think it's systematic in learning what is expected in Tuomas Isalo's system. I think it's frustration, it's not necessarily minutes. I think the frustration can lie in who's on the court together. Are you maximizing in the player's eyes? I'm just guessing. I haven't spoken to them. I don't feel it's my place to get into their feelings and say, what's bothering you? That's not what my job is. And, but it just appears that when you're not putting the guys you consider your best players on the court the most together, that's a problem. And someone looked it up, and I think it was one of those NBA.com when two guys are on the court together, number of minutes, and
yeah.
You know, John and Jaren together were like 13th, and that to me is just doesn't seem feasible, but it is, and it's the numbers don't lie. And whether Coach Isalo feels like he's trying to maximize the time that they're not on the floor at all, one of them's always on the floor. Okay, that's your train of thought. That's great. I'm not questioning it. It just seems like that may be where it gets frustrating just by looking at body reactions. But again, I don't know and I don't want to speculate. So teams go through bad stretches, and this is certainly what everybody would consider right now as a tough stretch. So, and you're playing good teams and they're taking advantage of the lack of depth with the injuries that comparatively the other teams aren't going through. Even though Boston's missing Jason Tatum, they still have three or four other guys that are, you know, very accomplished in this league, as we said.
So, Eric, I thought it was interesting the anecdote that you brought up a couple minutes ago about the situation where you have multiple players huddled up trying to figure out where the help side should have come from on a certain play. And it was just a reminder that, like, we are talking about this Grizzlies team and really pinpointing the offense and talking about, well, the offense, you know, it seems rudderless and there's times out there where they don't know where they're going and what's the offensive identity. And it kind of strikes me that a lot of that would come a whole lot more easy if you were getting stops. Like what's your right. your vantage point of where this defense is? Because I think that gets overlooked sometimes when you're implementing a new offensive system. Because if you want to go with pace, it's going to be a whole lot easier to get those clean transition looks off of a miss in a run out than it will be getting the ball out from the basket every time.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with defense. When the defense is, you know, giving up open looks, and you're pulling the ball out of the net, it's hard to score. Now, one of the things that I do recall in years past that I always felt like the Grizzlies did incredibly well was take a make and turn it into a transition opportunity. And we were talking about this actually in the Dallas game, because I thought the fast break points were low, and I thought the Grizzlies did a good job in that game of grabbing it out of the net when Dallas made a shot and coming right back at them. And I remember doing interviews, probably even said it on this show, that one of the things that was most impressive to me during that run was you'd be up 7 or 8, maybe even more. Team makes a couple of baskets. They start feeling really good about themselves, and they make a basket. You grab it out of the net, come down, bang, it's a 3. And all of a sudden, this quick 6 that you scored to cut a 13-point lead to 7 is back to 10, and you're looking up and going, what just happened? I thought we were cutting into this, and it's still double digits. And that's demoralizing. So I'm not seeing as much of that. And, you know, they're learning what is expected. They're trying to space it out, but it's different than last year. I think one of the common misconceptions was that Tuomas, not necessarily in Memphis, but around the league, was that Coach Isalo, you know, designed last year's offense, and it wasn't. It was another coach who's no longer with the organization. And it was based on spacing out all around the perimeter, and where Coach Isalo's offense utilizes pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll. But if you're not able to create off the pick and roll, and you have guys that are still figuring out how to play alongside a guy who does things that other human beings don't do. And we've seen this in times before, and even last year with Zach Edey. When Ja Morant elevates to take a shot, a lot of guys' natural instinct at having played basketball all their lives is to turn and look and see if there's going to be a rebound. And then the ball hits them in the hands as they're turning, or it hits them in the back, or it goes by them, or they're not quite ready for the catch when you think, okay, he's going to shoot this. And he doesn't, because he's got gifts that others don't possess of hang time and athleticism. And that's part of it. There was a learning curve a little bit, I thought, with John and Zach Edey last year for that same thing. But you're not getting into fast sets. You're getting deep into shot clocks. It's one of the things that Coach Isalo has alluded to in his press conferences, that the offense isn't getting going quickly enough, and it allows defenses to get set. And this league, if the ball is not moving constantly and players are not moving constantly, the athletes are too good to just think you can create one-on-one with everything. I mean, it's got to come from movement. You watch the best teams and the best offenses, and I think we would say if you look at who are some of the best offenses, you take Oklahoma City, you take the Knicks, you take these teams that are winning at a high level, if you watch them play, the ball is constantly in motion, and guys are constantly moving. And there's extra passing, and you're kicking to a guy in a corner who's open, and then either they're going to shoot or the closeout comes and they make a move. And they're looking to see if any of the defensive, you know, help sides are firing into for, you know, the pickup where you maybe got by somebody, and then the instinct is to pass. It's not reactionary, it's instinctual. And right now it looks like the Grizzlies learning the system at times have been reactionary. They're reacting to what the defense does, and that is that is a problem in this league. And I think they all understand that. I don't think I'm telling anybody anything that's, you know, earth-shattering news. But if you play reactionary basketball against a team that's playing on instincts and knows where guys are going to be and how the ball should move and where they should be and where it should go and where teams are coming from, you're at a distinct disadvantage, because when you react, it takes a minimal amount of time, but that minimal amount of time is enough to give the edge back to the defense.
Yeah, I think to Cobb's point, if you could fix one right now, would you fix the offense or the defense?
I think I would. You got to start with the defense, because the offense, look, their shooting percentages are lower than they've been. I think that's something that can come around. But when you're constantly digging out of a hole, that's where other players, you know, you take it upon yourself sometimes to try to make a play, to try to get something going, and then that maybe gets you out of your rhythm on the offensive end. If you're getting stops defensively, that's where it should start. You got to start keeping teams away from the, you know, 35, 40 point quarters, 70 point halves, 65 point halves, falling behind by double figures in the first. I mean, you're looking up, and I remember saying last night, it's like the offense is rolling along, and I even remember the Knicks game looking at the shooting percentages and saying, I said, you know, if you told me before this game started they're going to be even in rebounding, they're going to have one fewer turnover, they're going to have, you know, they're going to be making threes at a decent clip, and they did after a 2-for-10 start but midway through the second quarter, and they're going to be shooting over 50%, I would feel pretty good about it. And yet you look up and you're down 14. It doesn't make sense. Well, what was not making sense was the turnovers were high, and the points off turnovers were just outrageously lopsided. So, that's the thing. I think that, you know, they're humans. The players are human beings, and frustration sets in like anybody else in a job situation. They get frustrated. Maybe you just let your guard down a little bit. And, boy, this league is a circle of sharks swimming around waiting for the first drop of blood. And when they smell it, they're going to go after it. And the minute you start, you know, getting frustrated, they attack even harder. And, you know, for fans, you know, take that for what you want, and you know, place your frustration or blame on whichever side you want to. At the end of the day, they've got to come together as a group. I think they know that. I think they understand that. If they don't, you're certainly going to have a hard time finding success. And cohesion, as I said, since day one of my career, it wasn't that the San Antonio Spurs had the greatest group of 15 players ever assembled. It was that they kept the same guys together, and the guys they would bring in understood what the culture was, what the expectations were, and they knew how to play. And I heard Antonio Daniels on NBA radio talking about this the other day when he played there. Greg Popovich got into everybody's, you know, business. If you weren't performing, it didn't matter, and probably got into his stars more than he got into the secondary guys, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. You know, there's stories from all over the place. You know, I was fortunate enough to have someone I trust and a friend who played for him and said the same thing, that if you came and didn't bring the effort, it didn't matter who you were. If you thought it was about you, you were quickly informed it was not, and it didn't matter what level it was. And that cohesion, along with being, you know, having a super talented power forward, led to the run that they went through. One of the greatest runs of an NBA franchise in the history of our league, and the multiple championships and constant winning seasons. And that wasn't by accident. That was everybody being on the same page and keeping the groups together. I don't know that that type of cohesion with the roster in terms of keeping together is really as possible in today's day with the way the money is and the way salary caps can go up and teams can offer outrageous amounts of money to pluck other players. But you got to keep guys together that fit, and you got to keep, you know, a system that works and players that fit that system. There have been plenty of cases where players have flourished in another location because the system fits who they are as a player better. And that's not a personal thing. That's a systematic thing. So I think that's one of the things you're seeing is growing pains of having basically the third different offensive system in 3 years. You know, it was a different system, you know, up until that injury plague season, and it ended after that. And then you brought in a new system last year, and this system's different from that system. And you brought in different defensive coaches. And when that happens, things can get jumbled. And so I think today being what they call a lockout day, giving everybody a day to catch their breath and catch their wind and getting back to the court tomorrow and practicing. And this stretch could be critical for them if they want to turn it around. You get a practice in tomorrow. You go to Cleveland. You come home. It's an early afternoon game. You have time to practice Sunday and Monday before a Tuesday game in San Antonio. That's a quick flight back. You would have time to practice Wednesday before the Thursday game against Sacramento. Quick flight to Dallas on, you know, Friday, probably time to practice then. Practice time right now is going to be incredibly valuable if you can get these guys back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.